Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to our Ask the Experts podcast. I am Shelley Bloom. Joining me today is Crystal Bertner, Senior Compliance Specialist. Welcome to the podcast, Crystal.
Thanks, Shelley. It's good to be here today.
My first question for you today, Crystal. We have a group in the 51 to 99 space that was fully insured from January 1 of 2024 to September 30 of 2024. The group then moved to a level funded plan effective October 1 of 2024. Given the funding change, how should they file their 1095C forms this year? And will they need to send in two different forms?
They would not need to complete two different forms. For an employer who had 50 or more full-time employees, including full-time equivalents, in the prior year for all of 2024 in this case, they would use the 1094C form and 1095C forms regardless of their funding status. Now, for the months that they were fully insured from January to September, they would only fill in Parts 1 and Parts 2 on the Form 1095C. For the months that they were level funded from October to December, they would need to fill in all parts.
We have a small group under 50 that was level funded with UHC from January 1, 2024 to 8/31 of 2024. Then they changed carriers effective 9/1 of 2024, but were still level funded. Will the group need to complete two 1095B forms for each employee because of the carrier change?
The carrier may have changed, but they were still a small group offering a level funded plan. Only one 1095B form would need to be provided to each employee.
The employer has a client who is an applicable large employer, an ALE, and is completing the 1094C and 1095C forms. Do these filings include the determination of whether they are offering affordable plans and/or meeting the minimum essential coverage requirements?
The information pertaining to whether coverage is offered, coverage is affordable, and provides minimum essential coverage and minimum value is communicated through the codes that the employer fills in on the 1095C forms. Line 15 of the 1095C form is the minimum required contribution from the employee. Line 16 then reflects affordability and the safe harbor used only if the employee waives coverage. The IRS does put out a document titled Instructions for Forms 1094C and 1095C, which outlines the codes that employers will want to use. The codes and what they mean are listed on pages 11 and 12 of those IRS instructions.
Next question for you. We have an employee that is out on an FMLA approved leave of absence. We are collecting the employee benefits contributions from the employee. Are we able to add a 2% fee to the portion paid by the employee?
For an employee that is on an FMLA approved leave of absence, the employee would be entitled to the same level of coverage as when they were actively working. I would not recommend charging a 2% admin fee in this instance, as it would likely violate FMLA protections that the employee is entitled to. It would only be if the employee went onto COBRA that the employer would be able to charge that 2% admin fee.
With the RxDC or prescription drug filing deadline coming up in a few months, what do we have to do to make sure that we are compliant?
Yes, the RxDC or prescription drug data collection reporting deadline is coming up on June 1st. The June 1st deadline is the deadline that information must be reported to CMS, but carriers who are submitting information on behalf of employer groups will have earlier deadlines. The carriers will be sending out emails to let you know what information they need in order to do that reporting to CMS and what their specific deadline is for that. that deadline will be earlier than the June 1st deadline to CMS, so just keep that in mind. And then the information that they need can vary depending on whether you're fully insured or self-insured, which also includes level funded plans.
Do you mind reviewing what we have to do to comply with the Medicare Part D notification reminder to CMS that is due on March 1st?
Regardless of size and whether fully insured or self-insured, including level funded plans, employers are required to report to CMS whether the prescription plan that they sponsor is creditable or non-creditable. The deadline for making that notification to CMS is within 60 days of the beginning date of the plan year. For a calendar year plan, that deadline is March 1st, 2025.
And can you also tell us who determines whether the plan is creditable or non-creditable?
Yeah, so this is going to depend on the funding status of the plan. If the plan is fully insured, the carrier, in most cases, is going to advise the employer on whether that plan is creditable or non-creditable. Now, if the plan is self-funded, which may include some level funded plans as well, the carrier may not be advising on this, and it will be up to the employer. I would suggest checking with the carrier if there's any question on this.
Can an employer pay part of or all of the COBRA premium for a former employee who is on COBRA along with their spouse?
Employers can choose to do this if they would like to, while keeping a few considerations in mind. They'll want to make sure that they aren't being discriminatory and that they are applying the same policy to all individuals, as doing so is likely to set a precedent.
Crystal, my final question for you today, can an employer pay for Medicare premiums for an employee who is still working but on Medicare?
It's going to depend. If the employer has 20 or more employees, the group health plan would be primary and Medicare would be secondary. They would not be able to pay Medicare premiums without violating the Medicare Secondary Payer or MSP rules, as it would be seen as encouraging Medicare over the group health plan. Now, if the employer has less than 20 employees, Medicare is primary, the group plan is secondary, and they could set up a payment plan to pay for Medicare premiums for employees.
Thank you, Crystal. We hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, please contact your account manager or sales executive. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Thank you.